We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to Pod Mavericks Group Therapy. I'm running a little behind on this Friday afternoon, but that's the nature of things, and that's just fine. Thank you for joining me here on this very peculiar Friday afternoon after a weird week in Mavsdom. So I'm posting the link to join me in the chat right now. I would appreciate it if you came up on stage and gave me your takes, because I got to be honest, guys, after this week, I am nearly taked out. It's been a fun week. You know, anything that starts with LeBron James is a heck of a lot of fun for the sheer sake of content. But I think we kind of knew by lunchtime it was all pretty silly, and that's just sort of the nature of things. But it's still nice. It's interesting to consider like ramifications and what this sort of stuff means. Is, you know, I'm sure you've heard on plenty of other podcasts, players often talk about joining up. It's been fairly common since the 2008 Olympics. Jeff makes a good point. We do have Luca Slim, but that came out today. I'll have to find that photo if you guys haven't seen it in the stream. He looks really good, ahead of overseas play. So that's something we could chat about if we want to overemphasize that. There's also the finals that are in play. Perhaps the Nuggets will start to close the door on the Heat soon. I would kind of like to get that on with, so we can then get on to the draft talk. As much as I like watching Jokic play, it is pretty neat. Okay, my guy Krishna has joined the chat, which is fantastic. We'll bring him up and we'll start with the takes flying. We'll see if we can get at least half hour of show. So remember, guys, join, click that link that is pinned in the YouTube channel, and I'll bring you up here one at a time, and we can talk like it's, since we are all friends, we can talk a little Mavs. Krishna, thanks for joining today. What's going on?
Kirk, how are you?
Okay. Kind of just a weird week all around, but I mean, I'm here.
The fact that it started with the craziest rumors I think I've ever heard, and now it's just kind of like, I don't know where it goes from here.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced like it's anything more than posturing. Really, that's what most NBA rumors are ultimately, is like posturing and leveraging. Mm-hmm. Which, like, that's fine. Like, you know, that's what happens when, like, more than other leagues, the NBA really is a league where players are the focus and the center of it. And I think that's ultimately what comes with it. I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying that's like what it is. And ultimately, it's not realistic. You know, you've talked about it the whole offseason. Like, the CBA is just going to virtually make it impossible, if not it's already impossible, to have players on max cut. Three players, first of all, even two.
I mean, my friend Dwight from the you know 21 going on 77 podcast said it makes even considering a third contract for a guy like I mean, honestly, like Luka, it makes that not like dicey, but just so catastrophic if you do anything else wrong. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. I mean, look at the Celtics. Like, arguably, the Celtics are
They've done everything right. And they might not be able to keep everybody together.
Exactly. I mean, just having Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum might kill their roster because, you know, those guys are going to take up such a massive part of their salary. And, you know, it's tough. Like, you've talked about it. Team building is tough. But when you've gotten to the situation where everything is so, like, not even 50-50, it's like you have to nail these decisions or you're just putting yourself into a bigger hole. It's like, there's no winning. And so I get like why it happened. I'm just not really banking on it. Like you said, I'm more interested in the draft. I think it's always interesting with these big talent drafts where like the top seems very, like very solidified and yet the rest of it isn't. Like this feels very 2018 reminiscent to me where, you know, like Brunson fell, like ultimately, like, I don't know why Brunson was a second round pick. You would have thought he would have been
People lose their minds. They lose their minds. I mean, there has been a consensus top nine in this draft for the better part of 6 months. Bilal is going to sneak in. Kaysen Wallace could sneak in. And that's not to crack, you know, on any of either of those guys. Like I like both of them. I'd be thrilled with either of them. my friend Mavs Draft Richard Stamen is in the chat. Wait, hi, Richard. How are you? But it's so wild to see. It's like the more it feels like, and this happens in all sports, football is particularly bad about this, where it's like the more time you have to stare at an idea, the more time you have to overthink it. I don't get it. I really don't.
I mean, for sure. I always think about like for as much Cowboys fans like to clown on Dak, like I think about that 2016 draft where they tried to draft, trying to remember who it was. I know Connor Cook was one of them. And then it was the Memphis guy. I can never remember his name. And the Broncos drafted him. And Dak was like their fourth choice quarterback who they were like, I guess we'll take this guy. Sure. And it's like that happens all the time where teams are like so hyped about one prospect that like they take some other ones. And it's not to say it doesn't work out at times. Like it's worked out for teams. Like you think about Halliburton, like Halliburton dropping in, I think it was 2019, right? Like, it just happens like Shea. It's weird to think that Shea in 2018.
I mean,
like,
if I'm a Kentucky guard, I'm coming out and being like, have you seen what all the other Kentucky guards have done?
Obviously, honestly,
that's gotta be what Kaysen Wallace is doing, where it's just like, look at all these other guys who've ripped ass as soon as they get out of this shitty Calipari system that doesn't seem to emphasize anything, just like takes lottery people and puts them into like a hype machine. And then they don't do anything in any meaningful games.
It's so crazy. It's crazy that like some of the best bigs and guards have come out of that school and yet they have honestly nothing to show for it. Like how is Duke, who's best players have been not great, to put it lightly, in the NBA, minus like Tatum and Irving. Yeah, they have. It's weird, but you know, that aside, I think it's hard to like see where this draft goes. Like I want the Mavs to pick a 10, but I know the smart decision is to trade back.
Why in a draft? Like, tell me why.
I'm agreeing with you where I think if someone drops, you pick someone. I just have my doubts about someone dropping. Like I think ultimately, I don't know how much of it is like posturing. Like I think of everyone, I think Anthony Black is the likeliest to drop.
Really?
Because there's going to be teams who think, oh, he can't shoot. Like we can't take someone who can't shoot. Especially like, I think that's such a weird thing to be averse from. But because especially, you know, we looked at like, look at Jaden Hardy last year. Like everyone was like, this guy can't shoot. Mm-hmm. And then like he spent like the same amount of games in the G League last year as he did with the Ignite. And then he played a great season in the NBA and he clearly can shoot. Like shooting, I don't think, especially when you're young, I don't think is as big an issue.
Did you see that CBS article I shared earlier today? Anthony Black is an athletic super duper star. For anybody that doesn't know, Anthony Black was a net, like he would have gone to college to play football.
Yes. Stop playing that football. He played a ton of other sports.
He's a magnificent athlete and is basically, you know, Christian McCaffrey talked about this earlier this offseason about how he played different sports all year round. I mean, in the age of athlete specialization, Anthony Black, to me, and I'm extraordinarily biased, number one, just got to clear that up. I have followed him since he was a freshman in high school, just because he went to my high school. I didn't know how good he was going to be, but I was, because, you know, it's kids when they're 14, you just got a lot of growth to do, things like that. But when you see that he, as far as he's made it without a shot, and that he seems to have the drive to do all the rest of that, I would not count him out on anything. Now, if he fell to the Mavericks, you wouldn't be able to talk to me. I did this in January. I was like, Anthony Black to the Mavericks. Just like, and I was serious, but I did that with Luka too. I would be over the moon. And granted, let's be clear. Anyone in that top nine, or basically six through nine, you know, your Jairus Walker, I'd be ecstatic about any of these guys. I just can't. It's super interesting to me what could happen in this regard. There's just a lot of fun options. And, you know, to transition a little bit, Tim Cato wrote another piece. Tim's, I love you, Timmy. He's had some kind of pieces where the word choice he's used has allowed us to read into things to a certain degree. But what I took away from it, and I actually texted him and talked to him about this, is that the Mavericks have so many holes to fill. Thinking about their offseason in a linear path is what's making this really difficult, because they just have, it's so many if-then situations that change what they do next. And that should make all of us extraordinarily uncomfortable, because I don't think Mark Cuban can do anything other than think linearly. I don't think you can do the Doctor Strange and the multiverse, you know, act of, you know, we're going to fill these holes. I just don't think the Mavericks can do it. I mean, maybe it's me being negative. What do you think?
No, I mean, there's no history that indicates they can or that they will, right? Like, some of the best decisions the Mavericks have made have seemingly been just mistakes, like that it's just a thing that's happened. And yeah, I mean, like, even Luka getting drafted, like that's as much as the Mavericks going up to three and taking him and, like, you know, not necessarily having the risk aversion that Phoenix or the Kings had, as much as, like, you know, those teams being bad as the Mavericks, like, making that decision. And it's been that way the whole time, but the rest of the roster is, like, indicators of that, like Maxi Kleber and Dorian Finney-Smith being more than serviceable players is kind of luck on some level. Like, and it's not like the Heat, right? Where the Heat get Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, like Max, just like guys who are just undrafted. But you do it over time, it becomes less of a luck and becomes more of a pattern. And the thing is, the Mavericks have relied way more on luck than a pattern of consistency. And they just don't have that pattern, this idea that they can get players who are low value and then seemingly turn them into something more. That shows with someone like a Davis Bertans. Like, you would think of all players in the world to play with Luka would be perfect, but you can see, like, his just limited skill set on that, like, sure, insane contract. It doesn't matter. Like, at some point there's just a limit to what you can do as a team, what you can ask a player to do. Of course, like, that's always the truth. I don't understand the, like, I just don't understand the 10, and, like, if it's, which I don't think Tim has reported it like this, but if it's like, hey, we want to trade 10 just to get off Davis, like, don't. Like, that's not worth it for,
like,
that.
Trade Luka if that's the case. Like, just go ahead and get that shit over with. But yeah. I don't think they're going to do that. I really don't. I cannot be that pessimistic yet. Like,
I don't.
If they do it, I will excoriate them, but I'm not going to do it on the front end just because that's what Tim thinks they're going to do.
Yeah, I would see. I find it more likely that they trade, like, 10 and THJ. Because I, like,
maybe.
I think that's a lot more likely.
Palatable, right? You're like trading like for like, where you can say, like you can essentially say that THJ has some playability versus Bertans just does not.
Yeah, and I think arguably you could say Hardy is a little bit better in terms of what you could get from him than THJ at this point. And THJ will have some value comparable to Bertans.
He went from having, like, do you remember? He basically played all of Kidd up until, like, game 30. He shot, like, 30% from three. So, and then he finally turned it around. It's like 65 games with Kidd where he finally started hitting some shots. And he went from being probably one of the bigger albatrosses to being, I think, at least a neutral contract.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think that's, like, a doubt. I think it's interesting to see. Like, I've liked Lively, but I think I don't think Lively is the pick at 10. Like, I think if you're going to pick 10, you want one of those guys we were going to drop.
Well, that's the trade back option where like Josh McSwain in the chat is he's been losing his mind every show we've had where he's like, they cannot pick Lively. I don't think they would pick Lively at 10.
I don't think so either. I think Lively is like, he reminds me a little bit of like the Durin conversation where like Durin rose up a little bit towards the end just because of like his athletic ability.
Well, Durin's like a terrifying monster and has like real playability.
I think the difference is Durin is younger.
Sure.
And Durin just like as an athlete is like insane, which is like not comparable.
I don't have any strong, like I don't hate any particular player. I do lose my mind where it's like the, what we do is we, you know, like Bilal, Ryan Parker in the chat asked for Bilal thoughts. I don't have any other than to say that when my guest came on Tuesday, Barlow, you know, said that he saw that guy improve more in 18 months than just about anybody he's seen in 10 years of doing this. Improvement relative to what? I don't know. But those sorts of statements from drafts matter or from draft experts matter to me. And it's like, well, what's a guy's ceiling? And I don't know. But I think that with what the Mavericks have in terms of options, I feel pretty good about where they could go. And I'm more interested in rooting for a rookie contract guy than I am. And, you know, we had somebody in the chat earlier say, you know, anybody you can get at 10 is better than any veteran you can get for trading 10 plus Bertans. That's 100% accurate.
Of course. I mean, like, I think the only reason you would do a trade for 10 is you have to move back. You have to move back or get a pick or get a future pick. Like, you cannot trade this pick and get a player. Like it's, you know, you've talked about it and I've talked about it. It's like, there's no such thing as a guarantee. Like, of course, yes, theoretically rookies are, you know, less of a guarantee than vets, but I mean, vets move all the time in this league and they don't translate their game. That's just not how it works.
Well, there's some great examples thrown at me today where it's just like, look at the guys who have moved to the Mavericks that haven't worked out, like a DeLon Wright and a Josh Richardson and things. And I agree with that. It's tough. Fit is very hard to predict. I mean, but at the same time, I'm enjoying this because I would much rather have the pick than not. You know, we would just be kind of like, what are we doing?
Oh gosh, I do. Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see all the different prospects. Like, I forget who it was. Barlow was interviewing, I think it's Rasheed Waller. I forget his name, but like, he had a great interview with him, and he was talking about like, he wants to just be a defender, like a plus defender, like that's his like thing he wants to be. And it's cool to like hear about all these prospects and their stories and where they're coming from and the different elements. And I think it's always more exciting because there's just so much unknown, and it's cool to like look back on not just like college tape for some of these guys, but even just their high school tape. Like, I think, I don't know if Barlow mentioned it on your podcast, I haven't gone back and listened to it yet again, but you know, I think it was, he was talking to Bam, or Bam was talking about something, and Bam was saying like, if you look at my high school tape, I did way more of the stuff I did in the NBA than I did in college. And it's so interesting. Like, we always want to take 1 year of like college or Ignite, whatever it is, and make it translate forever. But the reality is these guys have so much progression that goes from even like 14, probably even younger, to 18, 19, 20, like where they are. And so it's Jordan Walsh. Thank you, Brian. So it's like interesting to see where these guys go. It's just a waiting game for me. Like, I can't get too speculative at this point. Like, I, like you said, we're probably not going to get like a pre-draft trade because I'd be able to frown upon it. And the Mavs are already kind of like in a bad spot with the NBA. So it's just a wait and see game for me. I'm not going to get too worked up about it. Just interesting to see all these prospects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take care, man. Thank you so much for getting us started.
Yeah. No worries.
All right. Talk soon.
Thank you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, coming up next is Brian. Before we bring Brian up on stage, if you could do me a favor, go ahead and hit the like button. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button as well if you want to join us with these regular talks. I hope next week, Mavs Draft, Richard, who was in the comments earlier, is going to be joining me on Thursday night. I'll probably record again on Tuesday with Josh. We'll figure out something to talk about. And then I'll do one of these Friday. For those of you who pay attention when I do put this sort of stuff out, I'm an idiot and scheduled a vacation the week of the draft, so I will not be around. But coming up first is Brian, and then Tyron joined us there. I see him down, so we'll get to Tyron after Brian. Welcome to the show, Brian.
I'm glad to be back. I think I missed a week or so. I'm pretty sure I missed last Friday.
You know, it's like that scene out of Office Space where he's like, I wouldn't say I've been missing it. It's okay, you know, there's nothing right to talk about. We're just spinning our wheels at this point anyhow.
I don't know. That was an interesting conversation that was happening earlier today. I think it was you, Logan, and maybe a couple other people who were talking about Anthony Black and his potential fit like in Dallas and, you know, the Luka lensing that people tend to do now about how they look at how they evaluate players that they're going to potentially.
It's a fair argument. I mean, it's a really interesting thing to talk about because we all love these prospects, but how they fit with Luka is really the thing that matters.
Well, here's the thing. I think it matters, but I don't think it matters as much as the way people emphasize it. Like, I think that there are things that Anthony Black is going to bring to the table. Obviously, him not being able to shoot, at least initially, would be a problem. But how good he is defensively, how good he is like a secondary, tertiary playmaker, like a second side pick and roll creator.
He likes contact.
Isn't there?
He's a big guy.
Yeah, amazing slasher, like with zero spacing at Arkansas, would immediately make everyone else on the team better moving off ball, like things that Josh had success at when Kyrie came back before Luka got back, where he was moving off ball, where Jaden was moving off ball, and he was like that little V cut that he did from the wing, just simple things like that, where he got back to a wide open 3-point shot. I was like, that's something that I haven't seen them do all year. I didn't even know he could do this.
Yep.
And it's just, there's so many ways he can help that team and that he can force Luka to have to evolve, like evolve himself, where he can actually become a catch and shoot player.
Right. The spacing Dallas provides. And I do understand where some people say, it's just like, look, man, it doesn't matter. We just have some guys who can't shoot. But I will use Dorian as the example over and over again. Dorian shot a lot better when Luka gets him open shots. But I'll tell you what, when Dorian started to get guys on him, he also got better at driving to the rim. Black is a good example of somebody who can already do that. Logan Thompson, a Mavs Moneyball contributor, just noted in our Slack that it's interesting. I reminded him that Black was basically a college rank. He was a nationally ranked wide receiver until he committed to basketball.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Because I was following our football team, and it's like Anthony Black, it was a jump ball expert. He's 6'4", 6'5", back then, and would come down with these big passes. And Logan said something in our Slack to the effect of he plays basketball like a football player as he's attacking the rim, where he does not care about that contact going to the rim. Sorry, my boss just texted me.
Oh, no, you're good. But no, I get it. Like, I just feel, because honestly, I I'm in a better place now. Like how you said that you kind of rude the fact that we have all this time to and how about who they're going to pick or what they're going to do with the pick. Honestly, I've kind of appreciated because I'm not that big of a college basketball fan. So this has given me a lot of time to really brush up on who's going to be there in our range. And I've talked myself into and out of and back into successfully at least 11 players that we could take at 10.
I love
them. I'm at a point where I'm at peace. If we take Anthony Black, there are ways that we can make that work, and that will be amazing. Asar Thompson, Cason Wallace. Hell, I've talked myself even to, depending on what they do with Tim and the 2027 pick afterwards, like if they use that to go get a big or whatever, if they take Grady Dick, like I can find ways to be fine with that too. Yeah. I wouldn't, you know, love it, but there are ways I can be fine with that. Even like you said, a trade back for Lively or whatever.
I am ready to be hurt again. Is where I stand in all.
Yeah, that's the point I haven't gotten to yet. I'm trying not to go there. I'm trying to show a little faith in Nico because sure. They've been pretty good at drafting and developing draft prospects in the short time that he's been there and Kidd's been there.
And hear me out with Black. Josh Bowe pointed this out to me. He's like, Jason Kidd, big point guard who can't shoot.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the kind of guy he would love. The guy who like processes loves the game defense, really, really fuck. Well. Yeah, no, super tough defender, super active defender, a killer at point of attack. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that he would – I don't think we'd see him, like, being sent down to the G League and going 30, 40 games without playing. I think Kidd would have him in the rotation within, like, the first 15 games because he would love that kid.
That was – like, Hardy's challenge was not his offense. It was decision-making and role within a team because he was a shoot-first guard. And you got to figure out your role in that and when to, like, you know, my old high school basketball coach used to say, know when to go and know when to whoa. And Hardy was just, he threw himself at the rim relentlessly in the G League to no avail. And I think, not in the year before when he was coming
in. Ignite. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like now he really learned where to pick his spots. I don't think Black would have to do that. I don't think any of these guys in that area would have to do that.
No, Kirk, he's like you said, he was a high point, like a what's the word I look for? Like a red zone target wide receiver, like in high school. He would basically just be a really, really, really smart, like off. If you don't think he can make himself a good off ball cutter in, I don't know what, like training camp and then a couple of weeks into the season, playing off of Luka, playing off of Kyrie Irving with all of that spacing that he didn't have in college and just be able to catch lob passes in traffic and like go finish around the rim or be a good slasher. And even if he can't finish, like he was one of the best passers in college last year, he's going to be able to find somebody. I think so. I don't think there's an issue really with bringing him and trying to integrate him.
That's one of the things that we learned not having Brunson is Luka, even and Brunson was great in his own right. So don't misunderstand me, folks. Mm-hmm. Luka, we don't use Luka's off ball gravity enough because Luka doesn't move his ass around. But if you surround him with enough ball handlers who can attack the rim, I think that sort of solves itself eventually because it's like I know the three-headed three-guard lineups two seasons ago with Brunson and Dinwiddie weren't as effective as we like to remember that they were. But I'm very curious to see where all this goes if they were to end up with him because I just there's just so much there. And when, you know, if you haven't read the article that I shared today, the CBS article, what I come away with is that Black has a ton of untapped potential. And that, like all these guys do in specific ways, but for me, Anthony Black is like a ball of clay to be shaped into different things who has a lot of natural instincts. And what he needs is time and development. And, you know, Arkansas did not have spacing. The clips of watching them play is kind of rough because nobody can shoot, including him. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Durant said. He's driving into like a rolling loud mosh pit every single time.
And if, you know, that's just not happening in the league. I mean, the guys are bigger. The athletes are better. But it's a different kind of traffic. So I'm just very curious with that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I that's where I'm at.
Doe in the chat asks, can Anthony Black play D? That is the thing he can do. He is a dog.
Excellent defender. He's hounding everybody 1-3, 6-7, 200 pounds, so he's going to put on more muscle.
I'm curious how tall he really is. He measured 6'5" without shoes at the combine. So, like, I want to compare him to our Josh Green. Josh Green is 6'4".
Like 6'5" without shoes, with shoes, that's what? That's about
it's
6'7" a just shy. Yeah, so it's still right around there. But
I mean, yeah, his hair, that'll be the difference. This is a, like, his hair is huge. Yeah, so no, it makes him look like, and it's like a psychological thing. Like, he looks like a big guy. He just,
yeah, he looks like he's like 6'9", out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you got anything else for us, Brian?
Man, I'm excited about the draft. There are so many good players in this draft. I'm going to go out on a limb. Fuck it. I'm just going to say it. I don't think that if they pick, there's no way they can fuck this up, really. They can't get a bad player.
I won't. At 10. So I think they can fuck it up in that years from now we might be able to, like, say, hey, they should have taken blah, blah, blah. But I will not on the day.
Like, they're not going to get, like, a low-floor bad player at 10.
They just take who's there. I'm not going to be mad. Like, we didn't even discuss, you know, we've all pined for Taylor Hendricks for the better
love
part.
Love Taylor Hendricks. Love
if
Jared.
If Taylor Hendricks is there, I'd lose my mind. Like, it's there's yeah, just
that,
all
that, that'd
guys.
Be perfect. That that's the dream. But, like, I've talked myself and all the other players, Bilal Coulibaly, too. Like, I think he's really good, and he's going to be good. So I'm not worried about who they could possibly take at 10. I think we're going to get a good player as long as we keep them.
Yep.
And is going to be a player that probably is going to force Luka to have to change some things in his game. And I think he's already aware of that based on the fact that he's gotten, like, in really good shape, as we can all see.
We'll see. Well, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you joining us once again.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Yep. Okay, coming up next is my man Tyron. Tyron, what's going on?
Just driving all over the city. but can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I just kind of wanted to take a moment and acknowledge where the league is, in my opinion, right now. We're in a position where we're changing the guard, I guess you could say. We're pining for people, like, you know, according to the media, I'll say this, but we're pining for, you know, LeBron James, we're pining for Chris Paul, we're pining for all these old guys who are on their way out from the previous generation, not paying attention to who's coming up next. You know, and I think that really, really kind of hit home as we're watching these finals, because I'm not going to lie to you, a few months ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell you the complete starting five for the Miami Heat, and they're kicking ass right now, considering who they're going up against. You know what I mean? So when it comes down, I say that to say, when it comes down to this pick, keep the pick and leave the old guys alone, because amongst a whole lot of other things that the Dallas Mavericks need going forward is youth. And I feel like we're on the right track as far as that's concerned with Jaden Hardy and Josh Green. If we could get a young big, that would be awesome. Because I feel like for once, you know, we have the coaching staff that's able to develop younger guys. I mean, look at the jump that Josh Green made last year between, you know, I mean, prior to the year before. Amazing. We haven't seen that in the Mavericks in a long time, because, hell, we didn't even keep our young guys to begin with.
Sure.
You know? And as far as defense goes, that conversation kind of frustrates me, because basketball isn't football, where you're specialized either on the offensive side of the ball or you're specialized on the defensive side of the ball. Basketball is offense and defense. There is no, oh, I can play offense very well, but I don't feel like playing defense, I'm not going to try. If you try, if you get that dog in you, like people have been saying about Miami, everybody on that fucking roster should be able to play defense. There's no excuse.
Effort goes a long way.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. If you can't jump or whatever, that's fine. But if you actually put forth the effort, anybody on any NBA team should be able to play a bit of defense. They're just, like you like to say, nobody should be a saloon door on defense in the NBA. No. You're a fucking basketball-playing professional. That shouldn't even be a thing. So I feel like we're giving these guys an out when it comes to that. That shouldn't even be a focal point when it comes to, you know, basketball. You're not a cornerback. You're not a, you know, defensive linebacker. None of that. You're a fucking basketball player. Play the game.
Sure.
So, sorry.
Why? I don't disagree.
So the kid that y'all are talking about, Black, is what's the guy's name from Houston?
Jairus Walker, who is a man.
Yeah, that's who I would like to see Dallas get. Now, I say that we never know what Dallas is going to do in the summertime, so I'm not putting too much stock in that. Yeah. But I personally would love to see Jairus Walker. He probably needs some work with his shot. But again, if we got Josh Green to get his stroke down and over a summer, I'm not really concerned about that. So We'll see how that goes, and that's all I got.
All right, man. Appreciate you joining. Drive safe.
Yeah.
All right. Now we got Ryan coming up last. If anybody else wants to join, click that link. Otherwise, we'll do, you know, about a half hour show today. That'll be great. I guess it's a half hour right now. Ryan, welcome to the show. What's up, man?
Hey, Kirk. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. Thanks for joining.
So I was just kind of thinking through some of the competitor reactions to the new CBA. So this trade that Denver just made, which was an oddity, but very clearly signaling that when you have large portions of your cap tied up on a few players, you have got to just build to the draft. That's the only way. That and the, you know, occasional mid-level exception you get are like the only options you've got if you've got a significant amount of cap tied up. And Phoenix is kind of the same thing with this Chris Paul noise. Like, to the point of, we will stretch and wave and do whatever it takes to get you off the books because we cannot have this much cap dedicated to this few players and not have a rotation, essentially, which the Mavericks have been kind of dealing with and are for sure entering with the Kyrie element. And just thinking through, like, I think Kyrie re-signing is the hinge for the number 10 pick. If they successfully re-sign Kyrie and keep him on the roster, they almost have to make a pick with 10 to a cost-controlled, effective rotation player for the next few years has to come through the draft. They don't have a whole lot of more bites of the apple on that over the next few years. Yep. Now, if you're not going to re-sign Kyrie, either you're going to have cap space or sign and trade, then you could do Mavericks roster building the last few years of Luka as an expensive resource and a bunch of pieces. But I think, like, either you flip Kyrie for multiple rotation guys, or you keep Kyrie, take 10, and you try to shuffle the deck chairs with Bertans, Tim, whoever else's contract. And that, I mean, those are limited options, but attaching 10, going back in this draft or getting out of this draft with how good it is, it's almost malpractice. One thing I was thinking of, though, is interesting. I think I would take 10 and move back if it was multiple other firsts. So there's two interesting options there. Indiana's got two late-round firsts this year, and I think Utah. So you could say Utah or Indiana, if you want to move up to 10 and grab an Anthony Black or whoever, we'll take two of your first rounds and some other, you know, potential rotation piece and then get more bites that way. That might be an interesting Nico play, but otherwise I think 10 has to come this year.
Yeah, I mean, so Utah picks 9, Indiana picks 7 ahead of us. So it's like, would they be willing to do something to move ahead like that? But for me,
well, Utah's got 16 and 28, and Indiana also has 26 and 29. So you could say there's some late round guys
that really worth it. Yeah, would it too? I don't know, because they, you know, the team building element of this that you were talking about a second ago is pretty important, because I have been specifically bitching about the Mavericks related stuff, but it really does, like, the CBA really does kick like half the teams in the league in the knees. Like, it's going to be real ugly for a while until it sorts itself out. I don't.
That's why the whole like Luka, Kyrie, and then try to get DeAndre Ayton is dumb. Like, you cannot have three guys with 30 million plus contracts on a team. Like, no longer feasible in the CBA. You have to have two big money guys, ideally, and then the rest of pieces.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the fact that the players' union allowed that to happen is insane.
I don't understand. Really
high value contracts, a bunch of dirt contracts, and nothing in between.
It's the second time in a row I've not understood what the NBA Players Association was doing. For those who don't remember, they went ahead without a concept called cap smoothing before the 2016. Is that right? The 2016 like CBA ratification, which resulted in there being that huge cap spike, which is how Kevin Durant got out there, because there's a 1 year cap spike. And this time, like, this seems to really cut off guys. Like, your Tim Hardaway's of the world are no longer getting 4 year, $80 million contracts. Like, that just doesn't happen. It eats up too much cap. I'm really shocked that this happened. I know that the salary cap will grow, but there are such penalties for going over the salary cap and approaching those two aprons that it's going to discourage movement, which I wonder if that was intentional. I think part of the intent was to really curb superstar movement and like the demands away from contract stuff. I don't know if it will though. Like you let that cat out of the bag where you basically, you know, where the superstars are able to dictate where they go. I don't think you put it back in it. I don't think you can.
On that note, it was really funny. I was thinking about this, the whole Lakers Kyrie thing. And I was like, you know, Kyrie's not going to give up his shot at money. It's not like he has sponsorship deals right now. So like his salary is super important, but like of anybody to piss off the players union and do something really stupid, like go sign a vet minimum for a year with the Lakers, it would be Kyrie Irving to do something supremely dumb like that. And, you know, I say that because it's so bad that the players union would probably say like, you are not going to do this. Mm-hmm. You're not going to set a precedent of being a maximum talent signing for that low.
Under low, yeah. That's
sort of like, anytime someone goes for like, oh, he'll just take a big discount. Like,
nope.
That's not how that happens.
No, I sort of expect that he'll re-sign with Dallas like for 3 years with maybe the third year being a player option. And that splits the difference between the 5 years that he wants and the 0 years he's getting from anywhere else.
So. And so you know, I think on that point too, I think there's a perception that the Mavericks may not want to pick at 10 because whoever they pick is going to take a few years to bring along. And honestly, the honest, sober self-assessment of the team should say, like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We will take the growing pains this next year because next year, realistically, even with Kyrie on board, not a top-tier, you know, championship contender. You take the 10, you have your growing pains, you try to make the playoffs, and then by year two and three, when you're getting to that crunch time with Kyrie and Luka, they're coming to their own and the roster is much better.
Well, we've not talked about it much because it's wish casting to the future because we saw skinny Luka this last offseason too. But I fully believe that a optimized Luka who comes and stays in shape and isn't asked to do 40 minutes with a 38% usage rate or whatever the shit he was this last year, that's enough to get the Mavericks back to the playoffs. Like they can win four more games with that.
One other interesting element too that I think gets overlooked because everyone thinks about the next pick conveying. Mm-hmm. That means that 24 or 25, the Mavericks have another first rounder. Yeah, we can't trade it, but that asset exists in the future.
Yes.
Pick 10 this year. And the only reason why I brought Bilal in the chat earlier was he's 18.
Yep.
You know, Josh Green
is very young. Right.
Luka's young. Yeah, Bilal's 18, and it's like he's a 3-and-D that just came into his own. More projectable growth there. You know, versus maybe some of the older guys in the draft. But you have that. You have the 24 or 25 first-rounder that you're going to pick. You know, potentially you trade the 27 or not. The 29 is gone. You can't trade the 28. The 28's there. But, like, there is a path to sustainable roster building ahead. The rules of the league basically protected the Mavericks from blowing it up worse than they have.
Yeah.
But, like, trading 10 out with Bertans just to get, you know, another rotation piece that may or may not work or whatever, like, just take your lumps and grow as a young roster, actually be a young roster versus just saying you are. And then by the time it's Luka's next extension, you've hopefully grown enough and done enough that he wants to stick around and hit his championship window on his next contract. Anyway, that's all I had. Just longer term thinking about the roster.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming up.
Thanks.
All right. Let's go to my guy, Brandon. Haven't seen him in a couple of weeks. Brandon, how you doing, friend? What's up?
I'm doing well, Kirk. I'm doing well. Long time no talk.
Thanks for joining. Yeah, sorry I wasn't able to get to you the last show. I started getting like my phone just blew up, and I mean I'm doing this during my work day, but it's Friday afternoons of summer. Nobody's doing anything.
Nobody's doing anything.
That's right.
They're doing nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Man, I was just listening to the last dude, and made me think about right now is the best time to try to build young talent because. It seems like the quote unquote superstars are pretty much 30 and older, and you have few that are, you know, 29 and younger. Jokic, you know, Donovan, Luka, and a couple more guys are younger than 29 and younger. But you know, the Hardens and the Durants, and you know, the people that's, you know, selling the tickets, they're a lot older, and you know, in a couple of years, who knows how health is going to hold up on them guys. So I think right now, you know, kind of building for the future would be the best bet. You know, there's a couple of young teams out there that's able to, you know, that's kind of done kind of well, but there's not a lot of, you know, the raw young talent. It's not as deep as it was in the past, you know. So I think that Dallas just kind of not try to hit the home run, you know, aim for stability. I think, you know, they may surprise themselves.
I mean, I'd like to see that. That's where the Kyrie trade is just so maddening, because they traded for him and now they kind of have to commit to him. And I wonder if they would have just, you know, it wasn't his fault, of course, but they traded so much depth for him. And if they had just sort of stayed the course, could they have made like the eighth seed and maybe fumbled along? And then but then again, we'd be out of the draft pick. We wouldn't have the draft pick this year. We'd be in a very similar spot in terms of not being able to improve the team. It's a dicey situation because having Luka, they sped up their timeline a lot and they've made all these decisions that they can't easily get out of. That's where we're all, it seems like a lot of people in here at least, are very, very hopeful that they take someone in the draft and continue to establish a baseline and work from there. And you know, we'll see, because like Luka, I think Luka, if he was so burnt out after the end of that 7-game win streak in December, he was so tired. I think that if he's just able to come in and pace himself a little better and the Mavericks get 8 more games out of him, you know, and they stop resting him. I think they have to stop resting him if he wants to make all these, you know, all NBA teams and have a chance at MVP and stuff. You know, they were 0-8 before they traded for Kyrie when they were resting Luka. If you win half those games, you probably make the playoffs. So it's just, there's a pretty simple path to them making it back to the playoffs. It's just, I don't see them being much more than a first round exit if that's the case. But you know what? You got to start somewhere. And hopefully this is the way.
They kind of have to play Luka, you know, with the new rules of, you know, if they rest him for so long, he won't make all NBA and all that jazz. So, you know, hopefully Cuban doesn't try to buck the system and really put Luka out there to play.
He wants he's a proud man. He probably doesn't care about specific ones, but I'm sure he wants the recognition generally.
Super competitive, love talking crap to dudes, and just really, you know, kind of likes the game, being young and getting to play basketball in the NBA. You know, hats off to him.
Yeah.
But I kind of wonder if, you know, the whole Kyrie thing is opportunity for Dallas to build some type of, some type of brand awareness, I guess, from a business standpoint, to where people want to buy Dallas jerseys, you know, buy Dallas hats, and actually want to come and play with Dallas. I didn't see a lot of people, you know, and I don't know, a lot of people that really just said, I want to come and play with Luka. But from what I've heard before, and this is just me hearing as a fan, that, you know, guys really like Kyrie, and, you know, I'm kind of curious if players would really want to come and play with Kyrie. I don't think they really take into consideration, you know, the perception, you know, the general perception of him, you know, in context to the media. But, you know, in terms of how players speak on him, how highly they regard him. Kind of just opportunity for Dallas to really, you know, do something they haven't done before, actually, you know, attract people to come in.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We got this free agency. They don't really have much to work with, so I don't have high expectations. But, you know, if they re-sign Kyrie and then you head into next year, who knows? But, well, Brandon, you got anything else for us?
No, man. And just one more thing, man. I was just wondering, you know, if Chris Paul was to hang it up today, would he be a legitimate NBA player? Or do you think that he would get in there off of just name?
Hall of Fame? Because it's all your basketball career, it's college, it's international play, I think he makes it. When you compare him and Deron Williams coming in the same draft class, and he's just outlived Williams by such a long period, plus the gold medal stuff. It's a fascinating one. I'd probably get killed for this, but he kind of reminds me of Sean Marion, where Marion should make the Hall, I think, but Marion doesn't have the accolades to go with it. Like, Marion never made an all-defensive team, which feels like a war crime. But Paul has a pretty good amount of accolades. I think his size paired with his longevity, that's an interesting conversation. But he says he wants to play like 3 more years. So if he does that, I think he makes it kind of just by, you know, doing the Dirk thing of playing forever.
Right. And it's kind of hard, you know, it's kind of hard to compare smaller point guards like him, because some of them stand out, like John Stockton, you can compare longevity, but as for like assist wise, you know, it's not really comparable. Oh, I don't know, maybe like a Kevin Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Johnson's a fun man. He was a fun point guard. Goodness.
Yeah, he would dunk on you in a minute. Mm-hmm. And then just one more thing, Kirk, and I was just wondering, like, do you think that there's a legitimate, I mean, just like not off of just name, but do you think there's a legitimate big three in the NBA right now? Because I think if you look at the names, you could say it, but as for talent wise, it's kind of hard to say that these are legitimate three, you know, three headed monsters.
Jokic, Murray, and whoever's playing good for the Nuggets that night. That's the big three.
Yeah.
That'd be my take. So, well, thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, Kurt. See you later.
Bye. All right. We got one more caller, our man Hyperion calling in, and then I'm going to have to get back to work. Hyperion, what's up? How you doing tonight?
Oh, hello, Kirk. I'm doing fine. I just had a little bit of drink, had a walk around the lake where I live.
Sounds like a good night.
Yeah, it's a very good night. I just crazy weeks in the NBA, as I read about it. Zion, Ja, LeBron coming to Dallas, all that
definitely
stuff.
Definitely not a boring week in the NBA.
Was funny. So it's always funny when Dallas doesn't play in the playoffs, but they are talking about Dallas.
That's right.
And Kyrie Irving tries to show his worth to Dallas if he resigns. What I wouldn't do, but we will do it. I would. I love Kyrie. I think he's a great player. I just don't think he's a reliable player, and I don't know why would we sign Kyrie if he will be always injured when it matters the most.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to give him this. Thank you for the article by CBA Mavs. I think it was a fantastic article, but when I saw the salary sheet for Kyrie Irving,
what
he can
money.
Make. I think giving Kyrie that money, and he always gets hurt, always mm-hmm. gets hurt in the playoffs. Why is that good for the Mavericks or for Luka?
That's why I didn't entirely, you know, and I appreciate Kyrie, but that's where I didn't entirely understand it, because he's not young anymore either. And you know, somebody in the chat said, I think it was scroll up and see, said, you know, Luka's had three straight lower body injuries because they didn't rest him coming off a Eurobasket. That's where, you know, team building around Luka is very difficult, because he obviously wants the ball a lot, but then they find somebody else who can take the ball in Kyrie and carry the offense on certain times, certain nights. So if they're building around these two, they have to find ways to give each of them some form of rest. So yeah. it's going to be tricky this year. And I'm just saying that because I do think they re-sign Kyrie.
Yeah, I think, yeah, they should, because if they don't sign Kyrie, then this whole draft was a big mistake yet again.
Yep.
And they cannot afford that. But if I were the GM, I would do maybe a Naz Reid or a Reeves or a Jeremy Grant Reeves signings before Kyrie, because I think in the new CBA era, it will be better. You have a one star and four very good players than two stars and bench players all around,
right?
I think in the future, but we will see. It's like the Nuggets versus the Suns.
Yes.
Nuggets had the better high-end talent, but Phoenix had the better high-end talent, but the Nuggets had the better all-around team and players that can help out Jokic. So I don't know. It will be very hard for the Mavs to build a team. They can do it if they sign upcoming players like Naz Reid, or this Reeves kid, or I don't know, some proved players, and draft very well in the next couple of years. Then maybe they can really build a contender for the future.
But I hope so.
If Kyrie stays, it will be very hard. Okay, I will stop talking because I
see you're great. No, my boss key will not leave me alone. I'm just like, hey, I'm finishing up a call, which is the truth. I am finishing up a call. I'm talking to you.
yeah. I know. My boss always called me on Saturdays.
Oh, no.
Afternoons. How are you doing?
It's like, well, I'd be better if I wasn't talking to you.
I don't know why.
Right? Yeah.
There are some buses that they do that.
That's right. Well, we'll see what they do with team building. I mean, so it's like we got draft on the 24th, so the Thursday, and then free agency kicks off June 30th, midday. And that's when, like, you can't officially sign contracts, I don't think, until like a week later, but we'll know how things are going for the Mavericks with all that relatively quickly. I know Kyrie said that he was going to play it out, but I think he signs fast. So we'll know, and then we can have more things to talk about during the summer as we wait out Eurobasket, which is 77 days away. So
that will be fun.
That will be fun. I'll look forward to hearing from you guys in here.
I don't understand how is that only Jason Kidd has job security in this NBA.
I know. Well, man, thanks for closing us out. I hope to talk with you next week.
Okay, all the best to you. Thank you, all the work. Yep. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, great show. Thanks so much. We will be back on Tuesday with Josh and myself, probably. I am talking to Mavs Draft on Thursday. I will have that scheduled. So be looking in the YouTube stream. You can go ahead and hit the bell button once you've subscribed, and it will go ahead and lock you in and notify you whenever we go live on your computer or on your phone. Thanks for hanging out. You guys have been great, and we will talk next week. Go Mavs.